Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today, I want to share with you a miracle in my life, a dream come true, just from the very first time I ever saw the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Terry Cole Whitaker on TV. I have adored her and given thanks that God put her on the planet. And if you didn't see her TV show, and if you haven't been introduced to the beloved Terry, the Reverend, wonderful, precious Terry, I want to introduce you to her now, the Reverend Terry Cole Whitaker.
Hello, welcome, precious Iris. Whatever you said is true for you, too. You're so sweet and wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
And I even got to see you and meet you in person at Shasta.
That was so fun. That was so fun. And, Terry, you have all kinds of, you know, besides your New York Times best-selling books and your television show and your churches and your world traveling to give the light. You're now doing a television show again. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What do you want to talk about today? I didn't mean
Do we want to talk? I think we could talk about what we can share with people so that they have more happiness, more love, and more health, better health and prosperity in their life, which is really the natural result of love and service to God. See, everybody's seeking this happiness and love because we're pleasure seekers. It's our nature. And so we're seeking to experience more of who we are. And the fullness of who we are is God.
Well, and you're saying seek first the kingdom of heaven within and all things shall be added.
Yeah, you know what I just heard?
What?
It's just really amazing. A friend of mine was sharing that there, in the ancient teachings, it says there's a white lotus inside, and that really everything is inside, the whole, all the kingdom and everything, because this, everywhere is the spiritual world. The spiritual world isn't material, so it isn't stopped or blocked by what we call material energy. We may not be able to perceive it because we're using our material senses to perceive what's going on. And so if when we learn to perceive with our with the soul, not just the body, but see, if we learn soul perception, then we can, you know, then we can perceive the spiritual world that's going on all the time right now. But it's an inner kingdom, and the outer kingdom is a wonderful, beautiful manifestation, and the inner kingdom is where it all is, and that if you go deep, deep, and the deepest place you can, there's the white lotus, which is the portal that you enter through into all the divine realms.
Woohoo! You know, I've done a lot of thinking about this lately, Terry, and and I've thought about how, you know, it, on this planet, and especially maybe in this country, there has been just a more addiction than ever before, I think, of all kinds. And I've been thinking about that, and that what you just described is what people are really, really, really wanting.
Right.
And we've been, you know, kind of tricked into.
Well, it's the same thing. Remember in the 50s, they convinced everybody that margarine was better than butter. Now, that's absolutely ridiculous. There's nothing better than butter. I mean, and cream. And, you know, if it's pure and wonderful, it's magnificent. So here we had butter, and then the people came along and told us that margarine is better for you. But it isn't. And you have to know how to take care of the butter. So it's like what we do is we've made a substitute for God, which is we use fear, and we've worshipped at the altar of fear to make fear God.
You're cutting out a little bit.
I know.
I didn't get all of that.
I said we've been in
phones and see if that helps. Carrie,
can you hear me?
Last few. Yeah, I can.
Okay. What I was saying is that every child believes in God. Every child, because they've been closer to God, because when they're in the womb, there's a process of kind of forgetting the other identities, and you're more, the soul is more in touch with God, in the presence. So, but then the children, we get dumbed down in the world, and we start to take on the fears and the beliefs and all this of the people around us, and then the conditioning. And so then what happens, instead of there being God that we worship our fears. And it's this fear of lack. And this terrifies everybody. So then the decisions and the way we operate, it's like, you know, the way we operate then comes from fear of loss rather than from love of God and love of others.
And so how can people... You know, I remember a time in my life when I was really afraid, and I remember there were people suing us, and it was purely, I went to a psychiatrist. I was so upset. I went to a psychiatrist because I felt so persecuted. You know, I wasn't breathing well, and I was taking it all personally, and my husband's biggest issue and my biggest issue then was feeling not successful no matter what we did. And the psychiatrist said to me, boy, these people that are suing you for $760,000, they think you're successful.
Wow.
And they think they can get some.
Right.
And I got to see that was the source of all lawsuits, is just looking outside for the source instead of knowing that we already have everything inside, the happiness, the joy, and it sounds like what you really want to do, what I really want to do, is encourage people to look into that portal.
Yes.
To look into that portal and away from these other things.
Or see these other things first as God's energy in these forms, that they're all there is God.
Yes.
And so somehow also begin to see the outer world as God and not get so caught up in what's going on in the outer world, because that's material energy. And it operates by basically seven hermetic axioms. And it operates in that way. And so... then everything becomes predictable in that sense. And what happens is what we tend to do is dig from out from our subconscious mind the system by which to live our lives. But it's a false system. And there's the real system. And so the false is based on lack and fear. It's based on separation from God. It's really the story that Jesus told of the prodigal son. Turn our back to God, take the little bit of energy that we have, and go out and squander that just for thinking we're going to enjoy it, and then find ourselves in a terrible condition. And yet at some point at that low condition, we turn around to face God, and we go back to God and say, you know what I was thinking, Iris, it would be so cool if people could really confess to God inside. Because, see, God's with us all the time in the form of super soul, or we call it Paramatma, or Mother, Father, God within. And God's everywhere, but it's inconceivable to a person's mind that someone like God would hang out with us.
Yeah, that's why people don't look on the face of God, or a lot of people don't ask God for help unless they're in a terrible terrible place because they just feel ashamed to look on God.
Yes, and God knows all of it. Every little thing we've done, everything
and
in hiding.
There.
No, always loves us because he understands, he knows who we are and that we're suffering. He feels bad that we're suffering and wants us to turn around because it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Well, I just want to ask you something, sort of what you're feeling on this, because I notice that you always refer to God as He, and a lot of people are referring to Father, Mother,
well,
God now.
Well, it depends. There's,
yes.
I think there's God the Mother and God the Father. I think there's two gods, and they actually act as one. Because one of the Hermetic axioms is the law of gender. So everywhere in this world, we see male and female in plants. We see some are herbivores or whatever. No, I don't know what it is. There's a word with they. Where they like
those.
Male or a worm or something can do its own deal and give babies. Basically, you know, animals have sex as human beings. So therefore, as above, so below, and that's another. Whatever's going on here has to have a pattern because this whole world is the effect. It's not a cause. And so this is called in the great teachings of the Vedas, we're in the shadow part. Even though this is the spiritual world, when we don't recognize that and we're not immersed in the inner world, in the inner planes, then what happens is all this darkness and fear. But we have to understand that there has to be, God has to be a person because we're persons. Now, that's shocking to some people because there's a whole philosophy that says, well, I'm God, but we're a drop of ocean water or a wave in the ocean. And we have all these divine qualities, and the qualities that we have to come from somewhere. They're not qualities of a body. They're actually, we're souls. And with souls, there are certain qualities and abilities and aspects. And so that's when the person wakes up and realizes that where they're going to experience God and the kingdom of God and all the good is in the soul, not just in the mind. And then you have to train the mind to, reflect the spiritual world.
Yes. Carry on by yourself for a second. I have to get my cell phone, and I'm sorry, it's like an emergency.
All right.
Okay, so you carry
I'm
on.
I'm
fine. I'll be back.
I carry on talking? Okay. So, everyone, Iris had to go do something, so we're continuing. And one of the things that I was looking at in all of this is one of the aspects that keeps us suffering is the judging that we do. And we tend to, you know, we live in this world that thinks, well, it's running on violence, basically, fear. And this the violence thinking that we have enemies or that someone is keeping us from being happy and comfortable or whatever and having what we truly desire in life. And so this violence is like we use guilt on other people to try and get them to be the way we want, or we use shame or we use fear to threaten them or whatever. But the essence of it, that no one's more cruel to us than we are ourselves, because you know, we tend to judge ourselves. And yesterday I did this seminar because I do seminars and talks at spiritual centers around the world. And so when it was over, I was thinking, well, gee, I could have done a better job. And I was feeling kind of bad. And I was like, oh, I didn't do the best job that I could. And then I was starting to feel a little bad. I said, oh, no, okay. So I thought, well, the best thing for me to do is sometimes when I feel overwhelmed and I start to judge myself is to take a nap, and that helps me. And so I went to bed early, and then I woke up really early in the morning, like, say, at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I hang out in kind of like a samadhi, and that is a sense of being able to kind of be awake but also in that deep alpha state. And then what happened is what I talked about and what I did at that seminar on yesterday, what I taught and what I said came back to mind, and I realized it was really a good seminar. But I was judging it by certain standards, that I was there to serve God and to help these people, and the knowledge that came through me. And sometimes when I say something, that's the first time I've heard it, because you know how we can tune into that place where we really become channels and instruments of the Divine Mother and Father. And so when I began to notice what I actually said and everything, it was perfect. And so one of the things we want to do is not to judge ourselves. And this... And I was talking with Iris about this before, and she said what she does is if she does something and she starts to maybe judge herself, and that means when we judge ourselves, either good or bad, if we think we're good, we pat ourselves on the back, and if we think we're bad, we're going to punish ourselves somehow. First, we punish ourselves with negative emotions, so we hurt, and now we suffer. And then maybe we hide out, and then we use this mind talk, you're no good, nobody wants you, you know, get into the fear. And we get into the fear of the lack in the future. What'll happen? Nobody want to come hear me speak again. You know, I'll be starving in the street. You know, we go over this script that is this old programming from fear. And so what she says, that for what she does is she just tells herself, well, you know what? I went out there. I shared myself. I put myself out there, and I did it. So there, that's it. And it's true. And instead of, you know, beating ourselves up and then hiding out and never giving of ourselves anymore, or shaming ourselves to think we're no good, and so what do? We don't give our gifts. We don't sing the song, or we don't write the book. Then what we do is we cheat ourselves, because we're here on a mission of God. And the way we do it is with our talents and our abilities. And we can't compare ourselves to others, because there could be somebody who has a million people coming to hear them speak, and somebody else only has one doing one-on-one counseling. But we can't judge by quantity. It actually, if you're going to judge, you judge righteously by quality. You know, were you there out of love? Were you there to help? Were you there to serve God? Were you there to help people to become happy and prosperous in life? Or did you have envy? Did you have resentment? Or did you puff yourself up really bad and say, oh, I'm the greatest. But really, God's the greatest, you know? So pride always comes before the fall. So anytime we're going to fall really big, it's really as a blessing from God to say, hey, wait a minute, God is the giver of wealth. So Mother, Father, God, and let us think of, if we think of Mother God, she's really Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And the goddess of fortune is there to serve God the Father. And God the Mother and God the Father are one and different. And that term is called Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. And that's and you can say it with me, Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. Let's do it again. Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. That's very good. That means inconceivably, simultaneously, one and different. So, you know, Mother, Father, God are inconceivably, simultaneously, one and different. And we are inconceivably, simultaneously, one and different from God. And also from each other. Because although we have the same soul or same self, which is God, there's only one, we are individual expressions of that. Yet your soul and my soul are the same. And that's how God can communicate with you and me and bring us together at the right. It's the same power that inspired you to this program. And that's how it works. And so, for instance, if we're judging ourselves, sometimes we won't even show up to do the thing because we feel so bad, rather than if you made a mistake, then if it really was a mistake, correct it.
I'm back.
She's back. We were talking about also Mother God is really Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And so that's why you want to treat money like a woman.
What does that mean, treat money like a woman?
Well, be nice to her. Don't talk bad about her. And glorify her. And just to send your money out and just be happy with the money you have and never be thinking, always, I don't have enough.
Are you there? Huh? Did we lose Terry?
Wow.
Hi, we're back. And Terry was just saying this must be a really high message that we're having a little trouble, you know, getting it out.
I know it is. Well, it's our resistance. And it's kind of this resistance to happiness. Because we have our attachment. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. It's like our attachment to suffering.
What is that, Terry?
Well, we're used to it.
Explain this to me.
We're used to it. It's an interesting thing because we have... See, there's a difference. Okay. Say, for instance, a baby chicken or a baby duck is trying to get out of the egg. And so you're watching it, and it looks like the chicken is struggling. So you think, well, I'll crack this egg to help this chicken get out. But then if you do that, the baby chicken will die because it doesn't have enough strength to live. And some of what we call suffering has to do with our concept of what's happening, our perception, what we judge it, what we call it. And so actually endeavor, it's like, you know, I mean, you put in some endeavor to do your radio show. You put endeavor in to work in your garden at home. You know, you put something in it of yourself, the way you decorate your home and the things that you do. So we could call it struggle if we don't like it or we don't want to do it. And yet what we all need to endeavor, and there's an endeavor is a big part of success because, say, a Michelangelo who painted, you know, St. Peter's Basilica and that Sistine Chapel and all of this, he didn't start out already as a magnificent artist. He endeavored. He had the desire and the talent, and he learned. And that innate quality that he had already of what he had become in past lives, what he had developed into, he then took that to the maximum through his endeavor. Now, someone could call that struggle, or they could call it suffering at some level. But if you do it as love and service to God, you might work 16 hours a day. But the kind of tired you are allows you to sleep magnificently, and there's a great satisfaction and joy in what you're doing. Or someone can be complaining about their job. I don't like going there. I don't like the boss. I don't like anybody. I don't get enough money. They overwork me. Nya, nya, nya. It's because this person is not on a mission of God. So what happens is they're going to naturally suffer and struggle.
Well, you know, when you were talking about the way you perceive something and how you judge mm-hmm. it to be, I was thinking that there was a time when I said, what do I want? What do I want? You know, it was kind of a turning mm-hmm. point. And I said, I want to be fully engaged, passionately engaged in what I'm doing the way a child plays, you know, and
yeah,
they're
exactly.
sweating and running around and getting something else for their game and laughing and fully engaged, not thinking that they should be doing something else.
Exactly.
And also, they don't even want to be called in for dinner. They have to do the pee-pee dance because they can't go to the bathroom. And all of those things have happened to me. And it's sometimes more than 16 hours. Sometimes I get up at 9 o'clock in the morning and I won't go to bed until 6 o'clock the next morning because I got another thing to do.
Wow.
I got another thing to do, you know, and
they're
all things that I want to do.
Right. And someone else will say, oh, I didn't get any sleep at night and I feel really bad. But just guess what? If we think about, you know, you might be really tired and you didn't get any sleep, but someone who is your best friend that you haven't seen in years can only come to your house for a little bit of time and you really had fun with this person, you'll stay awake. Or if it's the thing you really like to do.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to do it and you don't, you know, you're in this dislike mood, you get drained.
Yeah.
And then
we overwork,
but we're working instead of playing. Right?
I like playing.
Yeah, we're children of God. You know, in the spiritual world, every step is a dance and every word is a song. And we're told
every
in all the great religions.
Every step is a dance and every word is a song.
A song. Mm-hmm. We sing. We sing and we dance in joy and love of God. Isn't that cool? But see, in this world, we think that's a waste of time. How we value our lives in the material world, see, we're programmed that don't waste time. You got to make money. You got to get ahead. You got to be somebody. You've got to get this, and you got to get that. And so you can't waste your time sitting around singing to God. But guess what? If we sit around and we sing to God a portion of the time, or even work up to all of the time, and we do whatever, and do those things that are pleasing to God, like take care of cows, take care of the land, take care of your children, just give your gifts, do your prayers and meditation. Everything works. It's never a struggle because you have the food, you have the clothing, you have the house, you already have it.
Did
you let it manifest?
Yeah, well, you know, I used to be always trying to get something, and then I realized if I got that certain amount of money, I would already be doing the things, I would be doing the things I'm doing.
Exactly.
And so I just
went,
it's not the money, it's doing the things I want to be doing.
That's
and
it.
When I started to do that, I found that not only was the money not important to me anymore, but it was always there.
It
was always there. It was there ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings me to tithing. You're the one that got Jerry and me tithing.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important.
It's so important. You tithe to where you get your spiritual knowledge.
Hello.
Where you get empowered. Yes?
Oh, we're getting a
question
a call.
For Iris.
Hi. Who is
this? Iris. Pardon me?
Who is this?
This is Rose.
Hi, Rose. Welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you. Iris, I spoke to you a couple of shows ago. I called in when you had a pet communicator, and I talked about my dog having had recently a ligament surgery on one of her legs.
Uh-huh.
And you recommended that I try Panaway. It's an essential oil.
Yeah.
And I did. I purchased it and received it, but I wasn't sure as to how often I should, you know, rub it on her leg. Because it didn't really say.
Well, I would just put it on. I would put it on 3 times a day.
Oh,
and
3 times a day.
And Rose, could I call you back because we're
you know what
we're
she could do too? She could put just a little bit of drops in the water that the pet drinks.
I wouldn't
Tiny
do that
bit.
With Panaway because it's real strong.
Oh, it's too strong. Okay.
Yeah.
Do I mix it with oil? Vegetable oil, like oil or something? Do
you
I mix it?
You can mix it with organic olive oil. And
Rose.
Rose.
Yes.
can I call you back? Because we're interviewing Terry right now, and this really doesn't have anything to do with what Terry's talking about. So could
okay.
you give your number to Dawn, and I'll call you back after the show, my darling?
Okay, I certainly will. Okay, I'm sorry to, you know, interrupt.
No, it was fabulous. You did the right thing.
It's fine.
Okay.
Just give
it's
your
perfect.
Number to Dawn, and I'll call you back, my darling.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, bye.
But I was thinking, isn't that sweet that she cares for her little pet so much that she wants him to be healthy naturally?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and I was going to recommend she get some flower essences from Sharon to use in
is
his water.
Is that box flower remedy?
There's sort of, but Sharon actually first, you know, was given formulas for animals.
Okay.
And they're all from Mount Shasta.
Oh.
And so they're very lovely. I take some of them. I take some of the animal ones myself. You can take some with your animals. And I love them. But anyways.
You're not barking or anything, are you?
Not yet. But, you know, weird things do happen with me with animals.
They
Yesterday,
do.
I was sitting in the hot tub and I was eating pizza and this little deer came up and begged for pizza.
You're kidding.
No,
animals like
sick.
Pizza.
What?
Remember, the raccoons liked your pizza.
Oh, yeah. So I gave him some, and he didn't run when I threw it over the fence or anything. And then the wild turkeys came right around the pool while I was sitting there.
You're kidding.
No,
you know, wild didn't. Turkeys in the Native American tradition mean giveaway.
They do?
They're the giveaway.
Well, you know, I've been guided to give away more than ever before. And, you know, the thing you were talking about, operating from lack or operating from spirit, since I've been working with Sharon and since I've been working with you, I feel like I've had more and more contact and love and respect and honoring than ever of animals, and I've always loved them. I've always just loved them, but more than ever, I have some land in Texas, and it's both oil and lumber land, and I've had an offer from both parties, you know, they want to clear cut it and pump for oil.
It depends if you want, but if they clear cut, you have an agreement that they have to replant within the year.
Well, I'm not going to let him do either because they're
good.
Logging all the way around there. And I thought, what about the bird nest? What about
that's
the squirrel?
That's it. That's very good.
And, you know, my
now, what you could do if you wanted is with your nonprofit, you could allow people to give donations to maintain that if you need it.
I don't even have to maintain it. All I have to do is pay the taxes on it.
And it maintains. Is there water?
Yeah, and it grows. It rains in the summer there. There's real high
humidity. Oh, this is good. This is a good place.
So my guidance was not to sell anything there, Terry, but to grow trees and help people.
Exactly. Take care of it. You know what?
Yes.
We're caretakers of the land, of the earth.
Yes.
And even in the Book of Genesis, is that the everything on the earth, all the animals, all the creatures, and then the cow, were all those bodies. Souls are not created. We've always been, we always will be. But the bodies, the vehicles in which we are traveling, they all are also incredible machines. They're perfect in every way, designed by God. And then what will happen is then after everyone was created and the earth and everything, the human body, because with human intelligence, which sets us apart from the animals in that sense, we can know God, and we are the caretakers of all of really Mother God's creation, Divine Mother Earth. This is her manifestation in service to God and in service to us. This is our school and our Mother Earth, and then also the cow is one of our mothers.
Well, let me ask you something. You know, it may not seem like it's on the same page, but it is. A lot of people say that animals do not have souls, and that's how they justify abusing them and killing
them.
Well,
nobody has a soul. Everybody is a soul. If something's moving, somebody's in it. there's rocks and nobody's in it, but even the atoms are you know, in it. That's God's energy. That's so everything is part of God. But yeah, but they have to understand the science of reincarnation. And these people will believe that the Darwin theory, that everything was an accident and it became the survival of the fittest, and everybody, all these bodies that happened were the result of untold numbers of years of evolution and everything, because we try and make God in our own image and likeness, because we don't know how to do that. We figured that there's nobody that does know how to do that. If we think it's impossible, so we don't think anybody else could. But God is unlimited, and there's billions and billions of universes. And so it's like if monkeys had given birth, monkey bodies had given birth to human bodies, monkeys would still be giving birth to human bodies today. It doesn't stop. It's not happening. It doesn't happen. There's like 450 species of humankind. But many of these have already gone because of the warring and whatever else. But it'll all come back again when the next, goes through cycles. Everything goes through cycles in the material world. Well, I have to tell you, remember you were talking about animals? I have to tell you this one story that everybody, I'm sure, will love. A friend of mine, she loves animals too, and she's a vegetarian too. So she had read in the LA Times of quite a few years ago that there was this gorilla that had escaped the cage, the compound, and went and stood in line at the snack bar. Because right across from her compound was the snack bar, and she'd see people stand there and get food.
Oh.
Isn't that sweet? She was very polite and everything. She just got out and just stood in line to wait her turn.
Did they give her something?
I hope they did. Well, they probably had to give her one of those knockout shots, you know, to put her to sleep. I hope they gave her some.
But
she'd been watching all these people get goodies in the snack bar.
Oh, my God.
And that, because there's a person in there. You know, a dog has intelligence. Intelligence doesn't come from a brain. The brain is a tool used by the mind. Now, the mind is subtle energy, but the mind and intelligence is a tool used by the soul. And yet every body that we have has a specific, consciousness with it. And so we're influenced by the body, but there's also stories in the Vedas that talk about those in animal bodies who had to take the animal body for some reason, but while they're in the animal body, they fully remembered the experience because they were conscious devotees of God. And a lot of those are elephant stories. It was really interesting.
Do you know some?
Yeah. Well, I know about this one elephant. Okay. There was this saint named Rasikananda, and he would sing and dance all the time. He had no fear. Miracles happened around him, all kinds of awesome things that would happen to healings of people and powers and abilities and anything. Well, there was this mad elephant that was on the rampage and had been killing people and knocking over people's homes and just completely destructive, and the people were terrified. Rasikananda says, no problem. He goes to the edge of the village and finds where this mad elephant is, and the mad elephant begins to charge him. He just holds up his hand. He has no fear. His consciousness and everything, he knew how to communicate because, you know, he could communicate because animals communicate in a more emotional level, as we know. And so the elephant stopped, and he tamed this elephant, and he even gave initiation to this elephant. Now this elephant became his servant and would do all kinds of wonderful things for people. And then he also, I don't think it was this, and so that wasn't the same elephant, but there was another elephant who had been a mean elephant, and yet there was an older elephant at this temple who trained the mean elephant to become a good elephant and to do service to this temple. And one of his jobs was every day to take the forms of God, the deity forms of God from that particular temple and go on a thing which is called parikram, which is walk around the temple in the village so all the people could pay their obeisances to that particular form of God. Now, this was his duty every day. He was always there. He did it with love. He was like a master. And then the day that he died, he went to the temple and went to the stairs of the temple, put his head down on the stairs, bowing to God, and left his body. Is that awesome? There's also stories of dogs who were enlightened and then went immediately to the spiritual world.
Well, I guess why I'm bringing that up is that when people regard animals as not being part of God, but just something...
Not being a person, not having a soul.
Yeah, that it has justified, you know, separating families,
killing both for food and for sport.
Yep. And I just think that's one of the things that needs to stop for peace on earth.
Yeah, because they say in the Vedas that the karmic reaction of killing of cows especially, but all, you know, hurting animals, is war on human beings. And there's this whole movement of nonviolence. And I asked someone, okay, I said, at these big gatherings, how much time do they spend on vegetarianism? And they said, none. I said, well, how do you expect to have peace if you torture innocent little animals who are souls, who have feelings, emotions, and all of that for no reason? Because there's plenty of food.
Well, you know, for me, Terry, it's just... I don't want to do anything that causes pain to anyone or anything.
That's very wonderful, Iris. That's a very high, state of being.
Well, and still, you know, I have leather shoes around from when I wasn't thinking, but it's like I'm not going to throw them away.
I threw mine away. Maybe I shouldn't have. I should have kept them. But, I threw mine away. And I don't have leather seats in my car. And,
I know.
Because it's skin. They're actually skin.
I know.
Did you ever hear of that? There was this one cow back east somewhere in the Midwest. And a lot of that, you know, was a possibility. A lot of these hurricanes and the damage is being done in areas where they have a level of cow slaughter. And then what happens is the demigods, you know, Indra, the god of the heavens and everything, sends his clouds of devastation. And this is payback for karma. But this cow, he was in line. She was in line, bull or cow, I think it was a cow, in line to be slaughtered in a slaughterhouse, and they just send them down, you know, one at a time. She got so scared, but she got her courage up. She jumped the fence and ran to this town, and the people in the town protected her, and they built a whole thing about her. I don't know where it is, but she got away.
Wow. Yay for the cows everywhere.
I know. But who says the cow isn't thinking and doesn't feel? Or the chicken or the fish? You know, when I was a kid, my, you know, grandparents said, well, you know, you want to go fishing. I said, but that'll hurt the fish, you know, because you catch it in the mouth of the hook and then bang it on the head. They said, oh, no, they don't have any feelings.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember
that. And so I did. But that's not true.
And how did you feel?
I didn't feel good, but then I thought, oh, okay, that's okay. Then I can catch these fish and kill them and eat them. Because,
well,
see, children believe, know the right thing to do at that level very young, but then they're easily impressionable because the adults become their god.
My dad used to take me fishing, and I'd whine the whole time.
I begged
not to kill him.
Wow.
I would, and then he would take him home. He would take him home and put him in the bathtub, and they'd still be swimming around. And I'd beg him to take him back to the lake. And I just went on and on and on. I'd try to stop him till he actually stuck the knife in him. And he kept taking me fishing. I never figured that out. Would you take that kid fishing?
Yeah, I know he would have figured out.
What a pain in the butt.
Yeah. But that's really amazing. And this is the thing with these children. It's like, I think really grandparents, they don't understand what the function is, that their function is to bring God to their children, their grandchildren. Are we there?
Yes.
Hi.
Who's
this?
My name is Anne, and I was wondering if you were answering any questions for callers.
Sure. Did you want to ask Terry something?
That would be great.
Sure.
What are they saying they see as my present status, and any message for me at this moment in time, please?
All right. It's surrender.
And what is the difference between what they're asking now and what I've been doing for the past 30 years?
Are you where you want to be?
No, but I don't think anyone ever is. We're always at different levels.
Well, it's true, but you're thinking of what is it you really want?
Stability.
What does that mean? What do you mean by stability?
Stability, stable, being balanced.
So you feel you're out of balance?
It's not a question of not only my feeling, it's in the practical sense.
In your life?
In my life.
Where are you
not
out of balance?
Not in my spiritual life. Not in my spiritual life, but it's in the physical.
All right. Where is the imbalance?
I am very, very ill, and
okay.
It limits me in order.
So the imbalance is in your body, right? And it comes, you know, the body is the dense manifestation that the dense comes from the subtle. So there is imbalance in your consciousness, in your state of mind, and your emotions.
That sounds great theoretically, but that is not what it is actually.
Well, what you're saying is that it's moved from the subtle into the dense, so that it's manifesting physically.
Yeah, but this is a genetic blood and liver disease.
All right.
You know,
so do you want to be healed of this disease?
It's incurable and untreatable. Of course.
Well, that's
I want
what
to be
they
healed.
Say.
There's well, yes, I understand.
I mean,
that.
Do you think can God do anything God wants?
Well, I think all of us can. But you're saying to surrender, and then I'm asking, what is the path to surrendering?
Well, what it is what do we have to offer God sometimes? We have, you know, like there can be old resentments.
Right.
Are you holding any resentments from anybody? It doesn't matter if it was a family member, a mate, a child, the government, a religious thing, a church.
No, I've let all that go. That's been dealt with for, again, more than 30 years. So that's why I'm asking what they are saying specifically.
But that's okay. So do you want to be healed in your body?
Of course.
You believe it's possible?
Yes, of course.
All right. So that's the place where you start. And so if I were you, I would pray and ask God, who is with you, to reveal to you the cause of this physical problem. Because, see, your consciousness drew you to those parents. So
no,
this is past life stuff.
I understand all that. I know that. And I've already prayed, and I understand what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just.
So what do you want?
I'm asking for what is being revealed to you.
Well, this is but what's been revealed to me. What has been revealed to you, Iris?
I think that what we need to do is, do you believe that thing in the Bible? It says where two or more are gathered together, they may ask what in my name, they may ask what they will, and it shall be done.
Yes.
Well, we don't care about incurable and untreatable.
Right.
What we care about is miracles, and so we're asking for a miracle here with you, and that
mm-hmm.
is what we want. And not
mm-hmm.
only your perfect health, but your perfect happiness and
mm-hmm.
joy and freedom and the supply of every good thing. Do
mm-hmm.
you want to ask for that with us?
Yes.
Well, this is wonderful, Anne.
No, this is what I understand, perfect happiness and joy and what Iris is mentioning. Absolutely.
Yes.
And so,
you're willing.
Of course.
Okay. Well, and so let's all join and not only what I think is really important is that everything that happens to us, we make it as of cosmic service. And that means as
mm-hmm.
we are lifted up, we ask and that all life be lifted up with us. So we want to ask that everyone that has a condition similar to yours and everyone that's willing to have this health, wealth, love, happiness, fulfillment, inspiration, serving God, that everyone who is willing receive this too.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so Terry, do you want to do the prayer, my darling?
Well, we can both do this.
Okay, well, you start.
I think so. And then also, I think, Anne, it would be good at a certain point for you to ask. And prayer, you know what's so wonderful about the Lord's Prayer is that it gives us some wonderful steps to take.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we can do Divine Mother Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy are your names. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We are willing to have earth become heaven. We are willing for Anne to actually be living in the joyful, happy, healthy kingdom of God in her body, mind, soul. And so we ask this prayer for Anne and the complete healing of whatever needs to be to come for her to come to balance in her body and mind, in harmony with her soul and in harmony with Mother, Father, God. Give us this day our daily bread, and that means we ask that you give Anne the knowledge and give her whatever she needs to know and whatever needs to be revealed. If there is any blockage to her healing, let this be dissolved. And we ask and forgive, what ask is that Anne, what you may want to do now is to ask for forgiveness if you have ever judged God. If you have anything that you've been holding against yourself, any shame, any guilt, and have a time, just a time here if you want to share it out loud or if you want to do it quietly, but have your communion with God. And before the healing can take place, if we hold any grudges against our brothers or sisters or you have any grudge against yourself or any of that, you want to offer that at the altar.
I'm sorry, Terry, but we really have to go.
Okay.
Then
ask for your healing, and then we know, and we will continue on our own here, and we know that you are whole, complete, and perfect now.
And so it is.
Thank you.
In the name of our beloved I Am Presence and the ascended Jesus Christ,
yes.
This is done, complete. You are healed and forgiven and free. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Iris.
Thank you,
Ann.
Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Thank
you for listening.
Father God.
Thank you.
God bless you and all your dreams come true.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.